Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
We're going to be starting a brand new series this morning, and it's called Who Is He? So go ahead and congratulate the person next to you and tell them congratulations for being here on day one of a new series. You're not going to have to go back and catch up, you know, look at old messages just so you know what's going on, but you made it on day one. Now I encourage you to make it on day two and day three and day four. Who knows, maybe we'll turn this into a day five series, but I think it's an incredible series to dive into as we enter into, come on, the Holy Week, into Easter, and all of that that is so significant for our walk. Before I go any further, I just want to give a huge shout out to Dr. Dave Miller for stepping up, Mr. Rick Tundag for stepping up and bringing an incredible word last week. Matt Johnson stepped up on Wednesday night. Come on, did a phenomenal job. Brandon Gee stepped up on a Wednesday night, did an incredible job. I'm telling you guys, I wanted to be here, but I could not get out of my bed. I was literally just, I haven't been peeled back like that in a long time. But thank you so much for your prayers, and I just love that we have so many people that are on point and on ready, come on, to give a powerful word that changes lives. Amen. How many of you are appreciating this church and the people, come on, that have gifts and talents and are ready to use it all the time? So let's go ahead and dive in. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And then I'm also going to read verse 15 for time's sake. It says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he said, who is it that people are saying that I am, the Son of Man is? And of course, they give a great deal of response. You can read that for yourself. But in verse 15, he shifts gears on his disciples and he says this. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And I just, I believe that what this is coming down to and what's very, very important for us today is that this is a personal answer that has to be given by every single individual. Let me just be clear, like who your mom and your dad and your grandpa and your best friend and your coworkers and people that either have a relationship with God or not, what they think about Jesus, it really doesn't matter. The rubber meets the road whenever you are able to answer who is Jesus to you. And you really need to answer that question. And over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to draw down and discover some, not all. How many of you know that there's lots of layers to who Jesus is, right? But we're going to discover some of who Jesus is. Today, we're going to focus and we're going to spend a lot of time focusing on Jesus is the Son of God. And I want you to realize this, that the Bible talks about how he is the only begotten Son of God, that there is no other. Now there are those people that can be called sons and daughters of God, but this is in and through adoption. And we need to know that there was only one that was begotten of the Father, and that is Jesus. There's not many. There's not thousands. There's not millions. There is one, is what the scripture says. He is the only one. Today, we need to look no further than the life of Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. It means that he was a follower of the law. And how many of you know that the law was extensive? It was an extensive list of many, many rules, over 400 rules that needed to be followed. But Nicodemus was also a part of the Sanhedrin, which was a group of people, come on, it was more of a legal position, come on, that were keepers of the law. So if you found yourself breaking the law, then what you would do is you would find yourself in a court and you would be judged by the Sanhedrin. And so Nicodemus had made his way, come on, to the top of the religious structure of the day. He was highly respected. He was known as being a very wise man, a wise teacher. And he was a hard man whenever it came to breaking the law. I want us to realize that John chapter 3 is very, very important. In fact, John chapter 3 is where we get one, if not my favorite scripture in the entirety of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Somebody say only begotten. That means that there's no other, right? John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, come on, but would have everlasting life. And so John 3 is significant. The entire chapter is significant for those of us, come on, that are in Christ and those of us that believe. And it's very significant even for people that don't even believe in him as of yet. But I want to start with John chapter 3 and verse 1, and we're going to roll through 18 here. It says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. That's who we're talking about today. He says he was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. I want to push pause right there for a second. He came to Jesus by night. He came, I believe, undercover. Because what would the other Pharisees think that were out to get Jesus, out to persecute him, out to catch him in a lie? What would the other Sanhedrin think if they realized that there was something lacking in Nicodemus's life and he's saying, well, maybe, just maybe this Jesus, which we're supposed to be against, maybe this Jesus has the solution and the answer by which we're looking for. So he comes to Jesus by night under the cover of the night, and he said to him, Rabbi, I want to push pause right there for a second too. This is a complimentary address. He was calling him, listen, you're a great teacher. I am a great teacher. Come on, in the Sanhedrin, in the I've made it to the highest. In fact, I'm such a good teacher, I judge people when they get things wrong. And so he recognizes him and his gifting and his calling. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God. For no one can do these signs and these miracles that you've been doing unless God is with him. And I want to just stop right there and say that there's many people even today that try to pass off on Jesus being something other than the Son of God. See, historically, you cannot argue and fight that he was a real man that walked this real earth. Historically, there's accounts through Josephus and other historical keepers that says, yep, there was a man by the name of Jesus that did incredible exploits. And people back then would say, well, he was just a wise man, or he was just a prophet. Come on, he was just a good fella. And how many of you know that that's even happening today? In fact, if you go through some of our most pristine educational routes, come on, through some of our highest colleges, they won't argue against the fact that he was a man that walked the earth, but they certainly don't believe in a God. And certainly if they don't believe in a God, how in the world can they believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And so I want you to know that this, while it may seem really, really simple, of course Jesus to some of you is the Son of God. For many, he is not. And it's possible for some here today, maybe even you're questioning this. Maybe he was just a good person, a wise man. And so Jesus answered Nicodemus with this statement of, listen, certainly you must be come from God, because nobody can do these exploits, come on, unless God is with him. Jesus answers his statement and his question by saying something wild. He said, Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again. I'm like, what? He wasn't asking about being born again. But yet Jesus is answering this question. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Come on, did you catch that? He didn't even answer the question. Instead, Jesus jumps to the heart of the problem. And Jesus jumps to the heart of the problem because he is able to see something lacking and deficient in Nicodemus's life. See, he knows that there's something broken in him, just like there's something broken in you. He realizes that the sin problem has not been dealt with. And Nicodemus is a man who follows lists and he follows rules and regulations, and he's trying his best to do his best. But I'm telling you, Jesus says, listen, you're trying in all of the wrong ways. See, what happened here is the divine, somebody say the divine, in Jesus speaks to the natural in Nicodemus, and he's not catching it. He's not catching it. See, Jesus shatters in this one statement, Nicodemus, I'm telling you, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. I want you to know that Jesus in this one statement shatters Jewish assumption. See, Jewish assumption means that through your racial background, through your natural birth from your mother, come on, there is a spot saved for you in the kingdom of heaven by nature of just simply being a Jew. And this has been taught and it's been passed on that, listen, we are the chosen people of God. But Jesus here addresses it right to the point. Nicodemus, I don't care that your lineage is from Abraham. That's really great and everything, but unless a man is born again, he will not be saved. He will not see the kingdom of God. The divine is speaking to the natural, and the natural is not really quite understanding it. He said, you, Nicodemus, you got a real problem. What's the problem? You need to be born again. In all your splendor, in all of your wisdom, in all of your honor, because how many of you know that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, they were given the highest seats. Come on, they were given the greatest honor. In all of your adornment, in all of the apparel that you wear, in all of these things, you're still coming up lacking, Nicodemus. All of that is not going to help you one bit, sir. You must be born again, or else you will not be saved. You will not see the kingdom of heaven. It's the same plague today that we have. How many of you ever known somebody or been that somebody that you just kind of put off a little bit better than what you are? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you're like, man, I'm really going through a tough time, and so I'm going to go get me a brand new shirt. Maybe that will help me cover the problems. Or you come into church like this morning and you see somebody and nobody else knows that your week has been absolutely H-E double hockey sticks, right? You have been through it. But then somebody says to you, hey, brother, how are you doing? And you say something crazy like, man, if I was any better, there would be two of me. You know what I'm saying? All these goofy things that we say, man, I'm just, no, really, how you doing? I mean, I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. I'm really good. See, we try to cover, even today, it's a problem today, we try to cover and put off that we're better than what we really are. And I'm just telling you this, that while you might be able to get over on your brother or your sister, somebody that you go to church with, I'm telling you, God sees through it all. And the best way is the honest way. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man, Nicodemus is messed up because he's looking at things through the filter of the natural. How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? What a ridiculous thing that is, right? See, Nicodemus is in the flesh, and so his response is coming from the flesh. He responds in the natural because he's used to order, and he's used to lists, and he's used to things making sense. See, Nick is speaking in the natural, but Jesus is speaking of the second birth, which is a spiritual birth. Amen? Let me be clear to you, and I'm going to say this a couple of times. You must be born again. If you are not born again, church, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And the born again experience that I'm talking to you about is not another natural rebirthing. It is a spiritual birth, and you will know it when it happens to you. There will be absolutely no question as to, am I born again or not? And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering, I wonder if I'm born again. If you're questioning the idea, if I'm born again, then you're probably not born again. There probably has not been a spiritual birth, and I would encourage you to listen to the words, the rest of the message, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, because this story is for you. Jesus answered, he said, most assuredly I say to you that unless one is born of water and of spirit. Somebody say water. Somebody say spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's tying this once again to two births, one of water, one of spirit. Unless you're born of both, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And of course, the water in my belief system, what it's talking about is the natural birth. Because before a woman gives birth to a child through the birthing canal, what has to happen? The water has to break. Right? And so this is a natural birth. There are other people that believe, and I can buy into this as well. I think it's just as powerful. I just don't think that this is the first way. But they will talk about being born of water is in and through the washing of the word. And so you listen to the word of God. It ignites something within the spirit. The spirit is born again. And then therefore, come on, you've been born of the water and born of the spirit. But I'm telling you that these two things have to happen for you to enter into the kingdom of God. And then he says it, he clarifies it, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. How many of you know this, that the flesh cannot fix the spirit? I want some participation here, please. How many of you know that the flesh cannot fix the spirit? How many of you have attempted in your flesh to fix your spiritual issues? Be honest, how many of you have attempted in the flesh to fix your spiritual brokenness? How well did that work for you? It doesn't work, because you cannot say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to do better than I did today. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble and I'm going to get every single self-help book that deals from time management to leadership, and I'm just going to get better. I'm just going to be better. How many of you know that that will not fix the spiritual issues that you have? Let me also say this. I said this on Wednesday night. It's powerful. I was just like, wow, that was really good. We need to put that on a shirt. Come on, you cannot build a righteous life on a sinful, broken foundation. And when you try to live a righteous life, but the sin issue has not been dealt with, the sin issue is a spiritual issue, that there's only one way to deal with it. And it's in and through the cross of Jesus Christ. You cannot build a righteous life with a sinful foundation. It's impossible. And trust me, I have tried. I have absolutely given it my grade A best effort and failed. And so Jesus here is recognizing what's lacking in Nicodemus's life. And he sees that Nicodemus is trying to fix it in and through his flesh by following a bunch of rules and following a bunch of lists and doing his best, you know what I'm saying, to do the right thing. And so he's got the right desire, but his approach is the wrong way. Jesus said, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." And then he gives him something that he should understand. He said, "Nick, have you ever seen the wind blow?" The wind is the same word as spirit. It's the word pneuma in the Greek. And he says, "Have you ever seen the pneuma? Come on, can you tell where the wind is coming from or where it is that it's going?" The answer to that is no. All you can do is see the effects of the wind, right? You see the leaves come on blow and wow, something's moving those leaves, but I can't see what it is. And maybe you can feel the direction across your skin. But he says, listen, you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. And then he ties this spiritual rebirth to the same thing. So is everyone who's born in the Spirit. You can't tell how it happened. You can't tell where it came from. All you can see is a changed life. Come on, I want somebody to get a little bit excited about that. Somebody, your life has been absolutely broken, absolutely messed up, and then all of the sudden the wind blew. And you yielded. You came to a place of receiving Jesus Christ. And while it didn't necessarily remove all of your problems, come on, you had hope where you haven't had hope in a long time. And you had peace where you hadn't experienced peace in a long time. And you knew that everything was going to be just fine. So here, Nicodemus says, and he answers and he says, "How can these things be?" He's still struggling because he can sense a little bit of what Jesus is talking about, but yet he's still in the flesh. I want you to see the dance that's taking place. Jesus is dancing with Nicodemus, and it's very rhythmic, man. He's dancing with him. He's pulling Nicodemus along just a little bit, but then Nicodemus pulls back a step or two. But this is what I want you to realize. Since this conversation began, Nicodemus is moving. He's moving ever so slightly, but he's moving towards Jesus, and his desire is to understand. See, I'm trying, Jesus. I'm filtering things through my resume, through my life experiences. And what you're telling me is different than some of the most brilliant men that have even taught me. And so how many of you know when you've been taught a certain way? Ooh, this is so good. Some of you, when you've been taught a certain way from ankle high, and then all of the sudden, you begin to read God's word for what it is. And what you've been taught since you were ankle high is very different than what it is that God is revealing to you in and through his life-giving word. His written word is different than what you've been taught since you were ankle high. How many of you know that there could still be a tendency to hold on to what it is that you've been taught since you were ankle high? Oh, man. That is the truth, and I'll just amen myself if nobody else is gonna amen. I'm telling you, I was raised in a church where God showed himself to me, but when I began to read the word of God for what it is, I was like, well, that's different than what I was taught. And that's different than how the Bible says that we should act. Oh, my goodness, that's good right there. Once again, I'm just reminding you that spiritual birth is necessary. And if you've not been born again, church, you will not see the kingdom of God. It's possible that in our church, there could be some that are not born again. It is absolutely possible that throughout churches around this world, that there are people that have been committed and loyal to the church, even the mission of the church, but yet they're not born again. Well, why in the world would somebody go to church if they're not born again, if there hasn't been a real transformation that takes place? Man, there's a lot of different reasons. Some people go to church because it's good for business. Some people go to church because they love to be encouraged and inspired week after week after week. But how many of you know that the Lord didn't come to encourage you and inspire you? He came to save you. There's only one way that you're saved. There's a lot of different reasons why people come to church, but I'm telling you this, that the church can't save you, and giving money can't save you, and being a good enough person can't save you. You have got something that is very deficient in your life called sin that needs to be dealt with, and the only way to deal with that is in and through a proper, a real, a genuine relationship, come on, with the Son of God. Amen. Be clear, I'm just going to give you the easy plan of salvation. Salvation happens when God reveals himself to you and you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you yield to that. You believe it to the point, come on, of receiving it and it changing your life. John chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. Jesus responds to Nicodemus. He says, listen, are you the teacher of Israel, but yet you do not know these things? Because Nicodemus, in being a teacher of Israel, he should have known something about, come on, this birth that Jesus is talking about. And he goes on to say, certainly we speak of what it is that we know and we testify of what we've seen, and you don't receive our witness. He says, Jesus says, if I've told you of earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You're not even believing the minimalistic things, the simple things. And then he says this, and he ties it to it. He's talking about the kingdom of God initially, and then he's saying, listen, I am the one that can speak on this subject because I'm the one that's been there. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, speaking about himself. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. How many of you remember tests? I don't even know if they do this anymore, Russ. They probably did when you were, you're a little bit younger than I am. No, we're the same age. How old are you? 50, you're older than I am, just a little bit. I'll be 53 as well. You are an old man. Everybody just pray for Russ right now. I remember these tests whenever I was in high school, and I loved these tests. These were the tests that had the answer key at the back of the book. Do you remember those? I did the best on these tests. Like the answer key was, it made no sense to me why they did, but I still like pulled an 80%. I had all the answers, still pulled an 80. That was funny. Should have got 100. See, the problem is I thought I knew the answer to some of them. I didn't have to waste the time to go to the back. But this is what Jesus is doing. He's like, listen, I see, Nick, that you're having a hard time catching up with me. So I'm going to give you the answer key in the back of the book. I'm going to talk to you about something that you're familiar with. Then he shares this story in John chapter 3 and verse 14. Says this, just as Moses, he's like, oh, I know about Moses. I remember we heard about Moses. I was taught, Nick was talking about Moses and heard stories about Moses since he was just a baby. I know Moses. Then you'll know this, Nick. It says this, that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, yeah, I know that story. Moses was with the children of Israel, and there was no food, and they began to gripe and complain. And so God sent down manna from heaven and quail, and he fed them, and they still continued to complain because they wanted something new and fresh and different. And so there were snakes that were released. Come on, you can read this in your own Bible. It's a pretty cool story. Snakes were released and they began to bite the people, and these were poisonous snakes, and so people began to die. And so what Moses did is he fastened a serpent on the top of his staff, and it was a bronze. It was a serpent that was in bronze. And if I had time, I would tell you more about this. I always thought that was kind of weird. I'm just going to tell you about it anyway. If I go over, so be it. I thought, what a weird thing to do, put a serpent, because the serpent always signifies, it represents the devil. Why in the world would he put a serpent on a staff? But this was the deal, and I want you to know, I want you to pay close attention just real quick, okay? What he was talking about here is he put that serpent with a bronze coating over the top of it. Bronze means judgment. And so what God was showing these people as they had been bitten by these snakes and they were dying, they were saying, listen, yeah, that serpent represents the devil, but as you look on this serpent that's been elevated, it is coated in bronze. What that means is I have come to judge the devil and all of his works. And if you will just look at the serpent, then what happens is you will be absolutely healed. How many of you know that this was a foreshadowing of Jesus coming? He who was not sinful became sin for us. And then Jesus is saying, listen, just as the serpent was lifted up, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up as well. And it's going to bring salvation to everybody that looks upon him and receives him in the same way. Come on. Wow. So he says all this, and John 3:16 comes to my beautiful scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus is saying, Nick, I've been spending this time with you. Here I am. Here I am, the one that's been in this great conversation with you. And I love this story, and I'm convinced 100% that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, that there is no other. And I'm convinced absolutely that there's no other way to the Father except through the Son, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that there are many Jesuses that have come and will continue to come, but it's not the Jesus that is spoken of in this good book. And so just because somebody carries the same name, they don't carry the same identity. You better know the Jesus of the Bible, because this is the only way. If I just said, hey, listen, my name's Jesus, you could call me Jesus, and I have come to save the world. If you put any trust in me, a false Jesus, that's going to be of no benefit to you. And there's a warning that there are many Jesuses that are going to come, and we've seen that, and you will continue to see that. So here's Nicodemus. He's a man with this great resume, all these incredible experiences, all this wisdom. He's a rule follower to the T. And I want you to know this, that rules bring to ruin when there is no relationship. And I know a little bit about this because I was raised in a church where there was a lot of rules, and the relationship at times was lacking. And rules, you could even say this, rules lead to resentment without relationship. When it's all about the do's and the don'ts and there's no relationship and you have no idea why you're even doing all these things, this is exactly where Nicodemus is, and this is why he came to Jesus under the cover of the night, because he was doing everything that he could, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. There was still more. There was something missing. So about Nicodemus, I want you to know this. He had a troubled heart. He was striving for perfection in the flesh. And guess what? We're doing the same thing too. We want to get better. We want to get better. We want to try harder. We want to do better tomorrow than we did today. And I'm just saying that if you're in the flesh, good luck. Because you're going to find disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And he comes to Jesus. You're a great teacher. Maybe you have an answer, Jesus, that we haven't found yet. And Jesus is like, you better believe I've got an answer that you haven't found yet, but you're not going to like it. You call me good teacher? I'm not a good teacher. I am the Son of God, and in me and in me only will you find life and will you find truth. There's no other way that you're going to find life and truth except in and through me. John 3:16, again, because I love it so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, that means the whole world, anybody that believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, this is more, listen, don't check out on me yet. I'm going a little bit long, but don't check out on me. This is more than an intellectual awareness, because there are many people that are intellectually aware of Jesus being real. The Bible says even the devil and his demons know and believe that he is real. Are they saved? And so this belief system, it goes beyond just being intellectually aware. It really comes down to, do you trust in Jesus? Come on, do you know Jesus? Do you rely on Jesus? Do you cling to Jesus? Is Jesus a number one spot in your life, or is there another? Because that spot doesn't even belong to your wife, and it doesn't belong to your husband. It doesn't belong to your children as much as you love them. As a grandparent, it doesn't even belong to your grandchildren as much as you love them. There is one spot for Jesus, and that's the number one spot. And you better make sure that he has that in your life, because he doesn't play second fiddle to anybody. He's a jealous God, and he absolutely loves you. He gave his all for you, and he wants your all for him. I remember when I was 8 years old, and I was in this church that I was talking to you all about. I like this stage. I like it. Let's keep it. Let's just make it look better than it does. But I like this. Carpet it. I could travel. I like this. 8 years old, I went to an altar just like this in Twin Falls, Idaho, and the pastor got up, and he opened up the altar if we wanted prayer, and the Holy Spirit was just moving on my heart. And I went up there, and I buried my face in that altar. And God showed me two things personally, not through another man, not through another woman. He said, Travis, I love you. I got a plan for your life, and I'm real. And I would love to tell you that I surrendered everything at that point, but I didn't. But I believed him. See, I was intellectually aware that God was there and real. But I won't tell you that I was saved at that time. In fact, I went through a lot of different life. My parents were divorced when I was a year. Every time I would go visit my dad in Twin Falls, we would go to church every Sunday. And then if there was a guest speaker in town, we'd go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Definitely every week, Sundays and Wednesdays. And we did things crazy back then. We even had Sunday night service. Sunday morning, go home, eat, snack, rest, get up, go back to church. Definitely Wednesday if there was a guest speaker, all week long. So, man, I had a lot of church in my upbringing. It was crazy to me in and through, come on, my life, how many conversations that I had with people that they weren't really a Christian, and I really wasn't a Christian. Then I was about 14, 15 years old. I started dating a girl. In fact, I even got baptized. Didn't want to get baptized. I got baptized because her mom, this is terrible. Thank you, Lord, for not striking me dead. Her mom was a missionary to the Philippines. I thought, I'm going to get in good with mom. And so I got baptized in a river. Thank you, Lord, for not striking me dead. Got baptized for all the wrong reasons. This woman, after this, she told me, I think she could tell, like she was reading my mail. Her name was Linda Crane, and she was reading my mail. She told me, she said, Travis, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And when she told me this, it was just like something hit me inside of me. But guess what? I didn't yield to it. I was the most defiant, stubborn, self-serving person that I've ever met. Developed a very healthy drinking problem. Alcohol got me into a lot of issues. I cannot even tell you how many conversations, well over 100, well over 100 conversations, bellied up to some bar, absolutely drunk off of my backside, telling somebody about Jesus and how at some point in life we're going to have to change our ways. And it is the craziest thing how I would get, my grandfather was the same way. He would play country music, and he was a drinker too. He'd play country music, and then all of a sudden I would hear these stories about how grandma would be called down to the bar because grandpa would have one too many, and the next thing you know, he'd be singing gospel music in a country bar. And they were like, you gotta come get this guy. He's running everybody off, and he wasn't even saved. And so it's crazy how things are passed on generationally. Here I'm drunk, but yet at the same time, I know that there's a God, and I know that God's got a plan for my life, but yet I'm not ready to yield to it. But I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, I will see some of those people that I sat next to at a bar telling them about Jesus when I wasn't even saved. I promise you, I will see them in heaven. Because God can use even the silliness of some of the crazy things that we do. I believe it. I believe it. But then I got arrested for a DUI. See? Alcohol issues. Alcohol equals issues. If you're a drinker, stop it. Seriously. Oh, no, I could control it. Well, God bless you. I can't. So this is the deal. I get a DUI, and I'm sitting in jail. It's cold in jail. Anybody ever spend a night in jail? Jeremy, I knew you were going to raise your hand. I could just look at you and say, that guy spent a night in jail before. He's definitely been there a couple of times, I bet. But it's cold. I don't know why. They don't give you a blanket. And I'm contemplating my life, and I'm thinking, man, is this really what this is all about? And this was my prayer, simple prayer. God, I'm tired of my life. I went all the way back to when I was 8 at the altar. I'm 25, 26 years old. I went back to when I was 8 years old. I said, God, if you can use my life, anything, if you can do anything good with my life, you can have it because I'm done with it. And the wind blew. I'm telling you, the wind blew. The wind blew in that jail cell, and that was the very moment after all the experiences, all of the encounters, all of the people inviting me to church, the wind didn't blow, the wind didn't blow, the wind didn't blow, but just that simple prayer, my life was changed in a second, and I wasn't just encouraged, and I wasn't just touched, I was born again. And since that day, boy, have I made some mistakes. Have I still made some mistakes? But I'm telling you, I'm born again. Amen? I am saved. Come on, Jesus, come on, is in my heart. The Holy Ghost is in my being. And I'll never be the same. I couldn't go back if I wanted to, and I don't want to. Amen? You need to be born again. I'm going to close this thing down. I got more stuff, but listen. We ain't got time. This is the deal. The wind's blowing. And listen, you really need to make a decision if you don't know if you're saved or not. The Lord has presented his word to you. He is revealing himself. He is showing himself to you. And how are you saved? You're saved when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say a goofy prayer like the one that I prayed. God, if you can do anything with my life, you can have it. And guess what? He's like, that's what I've been waiting for. That's exactly what I've been waiting for. And then, come on, the Spirit of the living God will do something and you will have a spiritual rebirth. That's the second birth, and it's a supernatural birth. You don't have to enter into or do something goofy like try to figure out how you're going to enter into your mother's womb a second time. Come on, it is just as real and just as powerful as you are here naturally. If you've ever been a part of the birthing process, I got a chance to be a part of my children being born. I don't know how you could ever deny God, but I'm telling you, it's just as real as that is. Your life will never be the same. I'm not saying you're not going to have issues and problems and struggles, but this is what you're going to know. That God is with you and His hand is on you and He lives inside of you, and you've got a strength and you've got the power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives and dwells in you. And He loves you and He desires you and He wants to walk with you, and it will be a beautiful journey of just getting to know Him more and more every single day. And I don't think even in eternity we're going to be able to grasp just how great and wonderful this God that has been so good to us is. I think every day there's going to be something new to learn. And I look forward to learning more about Him and knowing Him. Why? Because I love Him. Why do I love Him? Because He loves me. And I just want you to know that He's here and He's saying, will you receive me? Do you believe me? We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Meaning that we're saved when we simply receive the word and we say yes to the word and we yield to the word. We believe the word. Then God comes in and begins to do an incredible work, just like He's done in so many people here today. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to receive Jesus? You would love to receive Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want you to raise your hand right now if there's anybody here. Anybody? In the back, sir, I see you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I'm going to park here for a second. I'm not going to rush through this. Is there anybody here this morning that maybe your priorities have just gotten a little off balance, and while Jesus has been a part of your life, He's not been the main part of your life, and you would like to just reestablish Him as being first? The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will find its place. Everything else will be added unto you. Is there anybody this morning that needs to? I see you. Thank you. And right here. Awesome. Thank you. It's great to see you guys here. Is there anybody else this morning? Awesome. I see you back here. Anybody? All right. Up and up top. Awesome. I love that, guys. The whole row. God bless you guys. I love that. Let's stand to our feet just real quick. We're going to pray, and then we're going to worship, and then we're going to get out of here and go eat some good food someplace. Amen. How many of you appreciate the word of God, which is so good? Amen. So grateful for His love. Lord, I thank You for these people, Lord, today that have made a decision for You. And just as Your word says that all we do is we believe in our heart. Wow, something was moving on my heart when that guy was talking. And I feel like I'm supposed to do something. Listen, you are supposed to do something. You're simply just supposed to respond to it. Say, Lord, I believe in You and I receive You. I ask You, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to be my Lord and my personal Savior. And Lord, I just desire that life that crazy guy's talking about. If it happened to him in jail, it can happen to me in church. And Lord, I just receive You right now in Jesus' name. And I believe You right now in Jesus' name. Save me. For those, Lord, that are reprioritizing You. Life can be crazy. We can become distracted. It's so easy. But Lord, right now, we prioritize You as being the most important thing in our lives. And Lord, we ask You to forgive us for taking You out of that number one seat and just getting distracted. Forgive us. But Lord, right now, we just purpose in our hearts that we're going to put You first. We're going to seek You first every single day. And Lord, help us to do this. Help us to do this. It's not in through our works. We're not working for anything additional. God, You've done it all. You've paid it all on the cross. But out of a heart of appreciation and love, Lord, I just want to give you my best. I don't want to give you my leftovers. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody in the house said a good amen.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.